Okay, so we're beginning Sefer Vayikra, and the Ramban writes in his introduction to the entire Sefer that the, of course, Sefer Shmos, the preceding Sefer, concluded with the building of the Mishkan, with the fulfillment of the grand vision of Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, that Hashem is going to dwell amongst the Jewish people. So the Torah naturally picks up exactly where it left off, with the story of the Mishkan and all its rules, and how to achieve primarily kapara, atonement for the Jewish people should they sin, so we don't cause silo kashchina, that is to say, we don't cause the shchina to leave the midst of the Jewish people. The idea is, v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, so we have the entire structure of korbanos, which we'll talk about, which are dedicated to primarily providing kapara for the Jewish people, so that they're should not be any cause for the Shechina to desert us. Rashi comments at the very beginning of the Parsha and of the entire Sefer, the Pasuk says, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem ilav, me'ol mo'e le'mor. So the first clause, Vayikra el Moshe, seems a little bit superfluous. Vayikra el Moshe, called to Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem ilav, and Hashem spoke to him, me'ohel mo'e le'mor, from the ohel mo'e, you could have just said, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe may oham oved. So what's the Vayikra al Moshe? So Rashi says it's Lashon Chiba, that it's the language of love, that Hashem wasn't just teaching Moshe a set of dry halachos, but on the contrary, Hashem was expressing his love and his commitment to Moshe Rabbeinu for being such a wonderful shepherd to the Jewish people and for being so committed to transmission of the Torah. The Ramban has a little bit of a different approach. The Ramban says Vayikra al Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me Ohel Moed Lemor, Vayikra Moshe means that maybe Moshe wasn't permitted to go to the Ohel Moed without a Kriya. He needed a Matir. He needed something that allowed him to approach. So the Kriya itself was a Matir. Rashi goes on to comment, reflecting on all of what we call the Parshios of the Torah, not Vayikra, Tzav, Shmini, Tazriya, Mitzora, what we call colloquially the Parshios, but the Stumos and the Psuchos, what Rashi refers to as the Hefsekos, that Moshe Rabbeinu was given time, the Hisbonin, to consider what it was that Hashem was teaching him. First, Hashem would teach him about the Korban Ola. And there are different kinds of a Korban Ola. There's a Korban Ola that comes from a bakar, from a large animal, and there's a Korban Ola that comes from a small animal, from the tzon, and then there's a Korban Ola that comes from an oaf, from a bird. So Moshe needed to be Misbonin. He needed to think about it, to process, to digest the information. And the truth of the matter is, Rashi says, "Kal v'chomer lahedyot halomid min ahedyot." How much more so for an average person who's learning from an average person? How much more important this is to have time to consider what it is that is being taught, what it is that's being transmitted, what it is that's being what it is that's being processed from one person to another. So we always need to take time to consider what it was that we learned. In fact, the Gemara, in a particular point, says that's what separated Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, every time he learned something, he would always make sure that he thought about it and he categorized it properly and he filed it away in just the right place. Rashi continues on. He says, "Vayikra al Moshe vayidaber Hashem elav me'oel mo'el le'mor daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem adam ki yakriv mikem." Says you should tell the Jewish people that I speak to you, but I speak to you only because of them. And the proof is in the pudding, Rashi says, the 38 years after the Chet HaMeraglim, when the Jewish people were in a state of nidui, a state of excommunication. So there's some evidence from the Chumash that Hashem wasn't speaking to Moshe. Hashem speaks to the Gadol Hador, the leader of the generation, for purposes of the entire generation, not so the Gadol Hador can feel proud of himself and can say, you know, look how important I am. But on the contrary, Bishvilchem, Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to tell the Jewish people. He speaks to me because he has a message to give to you. That's why we always have in the Torah, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, V'yamarta lehem. Hashem's not speaking to Moshe, so Moshe gets a kick out of it. Hashem's speaking to Moshe so that Moshe can do his job and teach proper lessons to the Jewish people. Pasuk says, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban la'Hashem. So whenever the Chumash uses the term Adam, it always seems to take us back to Adam HaRishon. So Chazal tell us that Adam HaRishon, of course, he had a certain stake in ownership of the entire world. He is Adam, kola olam kulo shelo haya. Obviously, it belonged to Hashem, but at the human level, in terms of relative ownership. Adam couldn't possibly be stealing things from other people. So Adam HaRishon could not possibly have brought a korban from Gezel, and so too, you could not bring a korban from Gezel. So Ma Adam HaRishon Shalom Min HaGezel, Afatem Shalom Min HaGezel. And that's very important, because what we're learning here, and this I think is remarkable, that it comes out of the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Person might think that, oh, I can be a very, very bad person. I can be a person with no morals, and I'm going to bring a korban. And like we said, it's going to atone for everything. It's going to make all the problems go away. Nothing's going to be, everything's going to be forgiven. In fact, the Jewish people, during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was about to be destroyed, that's more or less what they said. That's more or less what they thought. They said, oh, you know, Hashem's going to forgive us. After all, we have korbanos. And the answer is no, you can't bring a korban min HaGezel. Hashem doesn't want korbanos that are stolen. It's a mitzvah haba b'aveira. It's a mitzvah that's done through the performance of an aveira. Moreover, zevach rishoim to'eva, the pasuk says, if a person's a rasha and they try to bring a korban, not only is it not a positive, not only is it not a zero, it's a negative, it's an abomination. If you look at the first korban that's recorded in the Chumash, it's the korban of Kayin. And the pasuk says, vel Kayin vel minchaso lo sha'a, that Hashem did not pay attention to Kayin or his korban. It doesn't say, vel Kayin vel minchas Kayin lo sha'a. It says, vel Kayin vel minchaso lo sha'a. Because the pasuk says that Kayin was not behaving properly. On the contrary, he needed to do tshuva. Halo im teitiv se'ed, vim lo teitiv lapetach hatat rovetz. In other words, that Kayin was an example of somebody who didn't deserve to bring a korban. So there's no concept. Remember, we talked about it a little bit in the parashios of the Mishkan. That's why the Aron comes before the Mizbeach. So we have the same concept here. Adam ki yakrim mikem, it can't be min HaGezel. Okay. The pasuk says, "V'nasnu bnei Aaron haKohanim eishal haMizbeach." That the Kohanim have to put a fire on the Mizbeach. So Rashi comments that afal pi she'esh yored min haShemaim, but there was a fire that would come down from the heavens, and it would consume everything that was on the Mizbeach. So we should have a fire on the Mizbeach. So this can be perceived, I think, in one of two ways. First of all, we always have to do our hishtadlus, that the Mishkan is kind of like a microcosm of life. And we always have to have, you know, a kind of a human agency. And we can't just rely on the Esh being Yored Min HaShemayim, not even in the Mishkan, not even in the Beis HaMikdash. And we have to produce a fire ourselves. We have to make sure that we're doing everything that would be possible according to the laws of nature. We have to be doing everything within our power to ensure that the korban would be consumed. If it's a korban ola, it has to be kalil Hashem. It has to be totally consumed in flame. So we have a responsibility to make sure that that is actually taking place. I think that's one possible approach. I think another possible approach is that, as noted by many, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a nes, he always tries to do so bitznius, with a measure of modesty. The statement of Chazal quoted by Rashi, Ein l'cho yafe min atznius, nothing is better, nothing is finer, nothing is more impressive than a person or something in life that's very humble, that's modest, that is hidden. Hashem doesn't like to stand out either. So in Esh Yorid Min HaShamayim, it looks very impressive. It's like overwhelming. And so we say that we're going to try to help Hashem out a little bit. We'll build an Esh on the Mizbeach so Hashem can do what he does, but it can be hidden a little bit. The Pasuk says, by the Korban Ola, Es HaRosh V'Es HaPader, that you put the head, it gets burned with the rest of the animal, but there's also some of the innards are used along with the head. So Rashi explains the Beis HaShechita, where the animal's head was cut, so we cover that space, Derech Kavod Shel Mala, because that's considered respectful. The Beis HaMikdash is a place of shalom. It's true that animals are slaughtered there, but it's important not to have overt, explicit signs of violence. So remember, that's why David HaMelech wasn't permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says, "Ish milcham osata v'damim rabim shafachta," that you spilled a lot of blood. That was the story of David HaMelech, why he couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash. That's also midaraisa. There's the halacha that you're not allowed to cut stones for the mizbeach. Lo sivnes and gazis Because when you use anything which is iron in the context of the Mizbeach, in a certain sense that defiles the Mizbeach and the stones of the Mizbeach. And I think that's a very important, very, very, very important idea here, that derech kavod shalmala, we don't want outward signs of shechita to be clear, of slaughtering to be clear on the Mizbeach, just like we don't want the Mizbeach to be touched by barzel, by steel, by iron. So we have this idea here that when the head of the animal is put onto the Mizbeach, that it should be done in a way that conceals and obscures some of the most explicit elements of violence. The Pasuk says in a number of places, the first aliyah, Reach Nichoach Yishev Hashem. Reach Nichoach, Rashi comments, Nachas Ruach Lafonai Shemarti V'Nase Ritzoni. That the Nachas Ruach is that I said that this is what should be done, and Nase Ritzoni, that you did exactly what I said. So this is a very important theme in the realm of Korbanos, that the Korbanos are not a place for people to this is not like karaoke. This is not like people going off script and people ad-libbing. So that's what happened to Nadav and Avihu. They brought in Eish Zara, Sherlo Tziva Osam. So there are different theories what the sin of Nadav and Avihu is. We'll talk about it when we get to Parsha Shmini. Maybe the sin of Nadav and Avihu was they became inebriated. Maybe the sin of Nadav and Avihu is that they were arrogant and they were Morah Halacha Bifnei Rabban. But I can tell you what the Chumash says. It says, Eish Zara Asher Lo Tziva Osam. They were not following the script that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in terms of Korbanos. The Reach Nichoach of Korbanos is Amarti, this is what I said for you to do. And it's a Nachas Ruach Lefanai She'amarti V'Nase Ritzoni. And you carried it through. You carried my will through. And that's the most important thing to remember when it comes to the realm of Korbanos. Again, just to summarize what it was that we said, we talked about how the Ramban notes at the very beginning in his introduction to Sefer Vayikra that all of Sefer Vayikra follows Sefer Shmos. The second half of Sefer Shmos is about building the Mishkan so that Hashem could dwell within the Jewish people. So Hashem can dwell within the Jewish people only if the Jewish people don't sin. Remember that we almost lost the right for Hashem to dwell within the Jewish people with the Cheira Egel, with the Egel Azov. So now we have Korbanos that will be mechaper on our avonos. They will atone for our sins, and it won't cause a silo kashchina. So says the Ramban in the introduction. Vayikral Moshe, we have two perspectives. We have the perspective of Rashi, where this was Lashon Chiba, it was a way of Hashem showing his love for Moshe. We have the Ramban that this was a matir, that Moshe couldn't just come to the Ohel Moed to wait to hear Hashem's voice. Hashem would somehow make sure that Moshe knew that he was being called, but he wasn't being called for his own entertainment. It's not Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, it's Daber al Bnei Yisrael, V'yamarta Lehem, right? That Moshe is supposed to tell the Jewish people, Bishvilchem u'medabrim, he's speaking to me because he wants to have a relationship with you. And that relationship with you is not mediated via Karbanos, that relationship with you is mediated via you living a good life. Adam ki akrav mikem karban l'Hashem, v'lo min ha-gezel, that you're not allowed to steal a karban. A karban is not a correction for being a rotten person, a person who doesn't treat other people properly. So on the contrary, right, the person has to abide by all of the laws of the Mishpatim and all of the laws of ethics and morality, and then one can try to hope to bring a korban. So ma adam harishon shelo min hagezel, afatem shelo min hagezel. We talked a little bit about Kayin and how Kayin was such a person that didn't deserve a korban to be accepted. Now that's our notion of a zevach rishoyim toevav. A person does an aveira b'mezid, or a person does an aveira intentionally, so they don't have the right to bring a korban. We talked about how the Kohanim had to place a fire on the Mizbeach. The Kohanim couldn't just rely on the Eish Yorid Min HaShemayim. So on the one hand, the one interpretation we suggested is that we have to do our Hishtadlus. We can't just be Ein Som Chanel Hanes. We can't rely on Hashem to make miracles for us, not even in the context of the Mikdash or of the Mishkan. So this is a good example of that. That would be one perspective. Another perspective that we have is that Hashem believes very much in Snius. Even for Hashem, he wants Snius. Ein l'chayafa minat Snius. So Hashem doesn't want to stand out too much. So if we put a fire on the Mizbeach, people will assume that that's really what's consuming the Korban, and not the Eish, which is Yorei min HaShemayim. And the last point that we made is the concept of Reach Nichoach Isha LaHashem, of making a Korban as an act of service to Hashem. Amarti v'na'asa risoni. That's the nachas ruach lafanai. Not that we started ad-libbing and adding funny things, you know, to Hashem's directives in terms of how to make a korban. On the contrary, that's what led to the death of Nadav and Avihu. Eish zara asher lo tziva usam. So here we have again another very, very strong example. What's the reyach nichoach? What makes it a pleasing smell to Hashem? Well, what makes it a pleasing smell to Hashem is amarti v'na'ase ritzoni. That is the nachas ruach lefanai, that you followed my will to the T, that you were not deviating in one direction or the other. And this comes up, and I think it comes to a fine point in Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel, we know that Shaul was told by Shmuel Hanavi that he has to go and he has to eradicate Amalek. Okay. And he doesn't listen. First of all, he saves the king Agag, and he also is, Pasuk says that Vayachmol Shaul Ve'alam Al Meitav Atzon, that the best of the animals, so he doesn't want to destroy them. And he says to Shmuel, in the end, well, I'll offer them as a korban. And Shmuel gets very angry, and he says, Ki chatas kesem meri v'aven utrafim havtzar, halo shemoa mizevach tov. Hashem wants you to listen. He doesn't want you to offer your own made-up korbanos. He didn't tell you to offer these as korbanos. He told you to destroy them. What gives you the right to say you're going to make up your own korbanos? You saved these animals that I told you to destroy in the context of a war against Amalek. You're going to hold on to these animals so that they should be offered as a korban? What gives you the right? Who puts you in charge to decide that these animals should be korbanos? Hashem said that these animals should be destroyed. And again, that follows along with this idea. Reach nichoach, nachas ruach lafanai shamarti v'na'ase ritzoni. Okay, so we'll hold it up here, and God willing, we'll continue tomorrow we'll continue on Tuesday with more of a discussion of Sefer Vayikra.